Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Welcome to the show, folks. Was there anyone who, in your opinion, ran away with it last night? Someone who no one else could keep up with? We want to hear all about it. Give us a call at 407-774-8255. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. We are live. It is drive time, prime time on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I'm Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, and the owner, operator, and practitioner himself, firm foundation home inspector Aubrey Kahn, and also radio host.
I'm glad you said practitioner, not proctologist.
I almost went down that road, but all right.
That would have been a bummer.
Yeah, Nicholas Cicero on the bridge, and of course, as I said, you can participate if you think there was a clear winner last night or have any strong feelings about the debate, should you have seen it or clips of it today, either one of the debates, we'd certainly love to hear from you. Once again, we're coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios, where we'll be here tomorrow night. But then Friday night, we're going to be at the GOP Summit. But right now, we are in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Please don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free General Dentistry and Health Center Dentistry, call my award-winning dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And check out his great book, Mercury Free. All right, it was a big night last night in Beer Town, Milwaukee, good old Milwaukee, and it was more like it, shall we say. This time, the moderators weren't the focus of the attention. The candidates were. Some of them did better than they had done before. Perhaps it was the change of requirements of the change of format, if you will, of the debate, but nonetheless, the rules, the candidates. I don't think anyone really hurt themselves, with perhaps the exception of John Kasich, who sometimes reminds me of a whirling dervish,
you know,
just sort of spinning around, and you don't know why.
I know we talk about this word as politically correct. You're right, crazy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, John, what are you talking about? That wasn't even a question, you know. And he's describing how well we did. Running his economy and all that. Hey, John, the question was, where did you go on vacation last week? Oh, now, you know, I mean, he's so far off. You know, maybe he's competent, but boy, he really seems a little bit short in some of the, I guess, social graces or something, because something's missing.
He really seemed to tie himself in knots, too, when it came to the question about Dodd-Frank and the banking regulations. Yeah. Here was a guy. He wasn't exactly on a board of directors or anything like that, like Donald Trump said about him, but he did work at a bank.
That was pretty nasty. I'm glad you got oil in Ohio. That was really rotten. I had to laugh about that one.
Anywhere without fracking.
I know. That was great.
Trump was Trump last night. He was, once again, a little bit more subdued, but he was nonetheless firm in everything that he said. He didn't back down from anything he has said before. He reiterates. He constantly goes back to his talking points. He hammers those every time. And to some people, that may seem like he doesn't have anything else to say or he's being redundant. But I'm telling you, he's looking at this as though he's every opportunity is a new audience.
You know, and Chris, you're right. It's very simplistic. And sometimes I wonder, like, you know, every time I hear him speak, it's the same thing. But what, like we've talked about, you know, the average guy doesn't understand currencies. You know, he could really go in depth, for example, on the trade agreement, you know, talking about how could you trade currencies into different forms of currency, what it means if they depreciate it to 2% or up 5%, and how tariffs. He could go into all that because he obviously understands it. But I first thought, you know what, he doesn't get too explicit, but you know what? That's okay, because the average person wants a good, concise, easy story to understand, and he tells it. And, you know, with a different type of flair, I can say that.
Well, and he is once again saying things that people think. In other words, he's saying what a lot of people feel, and that's a good part of his appeal. And he still delivers the positive message. I would like to see him stress the, for instance, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd say stress the corporate income tax more when it comes to questions of how you juice up the economy, when it comes to the illegal immigration, how they negatively affect the economy in so many different ways, not the least of which, of course, is, as he talks about regularly, we are responsible for taking care of these people when they come here.
Mm-hmm.
And
who's we?
The taxpayers.
Yeah.
The ones who actually pay
we
taxes.
We the people.
Exactly. And, you know, when it gets right down to it, and it's harsh medicine for some to swallow, but I don't see how you can really secure this country without having some sort of deportation process. And it's going to have to be, you know, basically all or nothing. Yeah. Now, Ben Carson came out with a new plan today. He didn't reveal it last night, but he's revealed it today. If you're listening to Michael Medved, you might have heard some of it, where he says, here's what we would do. We would give everybody a 6-month grace period. And if they didn't, you know, come forward in that 6 month, they would have to pay a penalty. They would have to pay back taxes. Then they would have to go on the tax rolls. Then they would not be able to. They would have a guest worker card, but they would not be able to vote. They would not be a citizen. And if they wanted to become a citizen, they'd have to go through the same process as everyone else. And then, but though after 6 months, they would be considered criminals.
Oh, so they break the law and they're still okay for 6 months. I'm sorry.
It's basically 6 months of amnesty is what it amounts to.
No, because let's face it, if they don't come out of the shadows, they'll get amnesty later.
Well,
I agree with Donald. Get them out of here.
That was going to be my next point. To them, it's just another same old, same old. We've heard this story before.
And they're going to flood over the border again.
They'll never send us out. They'll never expel us. You know, they'll keep coming up with these programs. And how are you going to know?
What I like, too, is when they talk about back taxes. Wait a second. A lot of these people aren't even registered. You know, they're paid cash.
How are you going to know what it is?
What are they talking about? I mean, that's called the underground economy. And then I did like Cruz's example when he was talking about, well, how about we bring in a bunch of journalists and we keep lowering the wages and everything. But, you know, that was a very good, definitive way to really explain the problem that our poor workers are going to suffer from. You're going to get waxed even further.
Yeah, by the way, Carl Jackson, I don't know if you caught him either last night or this morning on Fox, but he had a good take on Ted Cruz, that Ted Cruz he's playing the long game. In other words, he's not looking at any one of these debates as a single individual debate. He's sort of setting things up.
Hanging around.
Well, not just hanging around, but sort of setting up his argument as he goes here. And now last night he did do something in a subtle way. He supported Trump. Because he said, I'm sick and tired of people looking down at me and calling me a bigot because I'm against illegal immigration, saying I'm against immigration. I'm for immigration, just against illegal immigration.
Right.
Well, that's what Trump's whole backbone of his campaign mm-hmm. is. But how can you really have a true system of illegal immigration when you constantly come up with plans that kind of whistle past the graveyard and say, well, the people who do manage to get here illegally, well, we're not going to be so cruel as to send them back.
Well, hold on. Just to swing it to another person who's talking about immigration. Our new Speaker of the House, do you know what his new plan is?
Go ahead.
The B-1 visa, or should I say the B-2 visa, for uneducated, low-income people,
right?
They want to remove limits on it. So
yes.
Allow anybody that wants to come in on a B-2 visa.
So what is it, the saying in the Statue of Liberty, which, by the way, wasn't there originally, bring us you're tired, you're poor, you're hungry, and your ISIS terrorists.
Yeah.
Send them all over here.
Yes,
we don't want anybody else to be burdened with them.
But it doesn't say that We, the people of the United States, will house them, feed them, clothe them, educate them, and have them on welfare for the next 20 generations.
No, that's just what the Speaker of the House wants us to do. And
he's not even a rhino. He's a Democrat.
Well, the nice thing about last night's debate, and this is something that I've been stressing that we needed to have, that I've been longing for, if you will, is we now can begin to compare these candidates on honest-to-God issues. Now we kind of know who is wishy-washy on immigration, who's making it up as they go along, who's been dead set on one course from the very beginning, and where they all kind of stand on this thing. And it's beginning to crystallize that Trump and Cruz get it. The rest of them kind of don't.
Well, you know,
some of them worse than others.
Taking the version, for instance, Bush, you know, he was the least talked about guy on Facebook. Now, Facebook has millions and millions of people during the event.
Right.
He was the least talked about. Well, the point behind it is now look at his policy. I do believe if I'm a candidate running, I got to make a decision. Either I'm for or against it. And what's happening is they're all trying to look at the polls and everything.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, you know, I'm out every day. You're out every day. I would say 90% of the people I deal with are 100% against this illegal immigration. I'm for say, look, in my own opinion, I don't believe we should bring one more person in until we balance the budget in this country. You balance the budget, that'll help you Democrats understand we're going to fulfill our responsibility to our own, and then we'll open it back up again. So I'm going to bet that the person that does not want illegal immigration is going to be the winner in this deal.
All right. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. You know, Trump was also right last night when he was talking about Ike, but he could have gone even further. There was another president that deported even more illegals. And we'll tell you who it is on the other side.
I'm a flag-waving, patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. I love mom and apple pie and the freedoms that we all enjoy across this beautiful land. I've worked hard and I'd fight hard for the old red, white, and blue, and I'll die a whole lot harder if it comes to where I have to. I'm a flag-waving, patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. And when I see old glory waving, I think of all the brave men that have fought and died for what is right and wrong. And when I see old glory burning, my blood begins to churning.
Welcome back to the show, folks, and happy Veterans Day to all of you veterans who are in our audience. We so very much appreciate you and everything that you put on the line for us, and we've got a few little treats for you as the night goes along. Of course, this being Veterans Day, and I hope all you folks will thank God for our veterans and take part in any celebration that you can.
You know, Chris, I was over the day over in Leesburg. I played in the Angel Flight golf tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, my foursome that I played with was all veterans. And I would say 90% of the people that are participating to raise money for Angel Flight were veterans. And I'll tell you one thing I did, which I got to do every day of my life, and we all should do this. And I thought it was pretty – I couldn't believe the reaction of the person. I'm walking out of 7-Eleven, and there's this – lady, probably 35 years old, and she had on her little celebration for Veterans Day.
Yeah.
I said, are you a veteran? She said, yeah. I said, sir, buy her some coffee. Well, I'll buy her some coffee. Take care of it. This lady acted like I bought her a dinner at Del Frisco's. And I just said, I want to thank you very much. But you know what? It's amazing. If you do that, all these people really get the point that, you know, we do appreciate you people. Without you, we wouldn't have anything.
Yeah, and you do the same to the boys in blue.
Yeah.
You see how appreciative the cops are. If you just thank
them. That's exactly right.
You just, you know, you see the guy stopped to the side of the road, a sheriff there, and you just walk up to him and say, thank you for what you do for us. The guys just melt.
There's a little restaurant cafe I go to once in a while for breakfast, and I'll buy him breakfast, and I told you, it's like my wife. At the end of every month, we take a real, what are the schools for, like third, fourth, mid school or something, we take them over 20 bags of food. You know what I mean? Canned food and stuff. And you know what? These people are so appreciative, and I'd rather give it myself
right
than have these government slugs. By the time they would get the bag of food, there'd be nothing in the bag. Here's your bag. We took all the food. Forget it. I'm doing it myself.
Yeah. Well, it's more important that way, too, or how should I say this? It's more important that the person receiving it can kind of see the person that it's coming from, rather than some, you know, faceless, huge, giant government entity that they get a card.
Right.
It's so impersonal that there's no real connection with somebody else is doing something here.
I mean, I was just so amused by how excited that lady was that I recognized her as a veteran, and I just said, you know, I want to thank you for what you've done. We all appreciate this. And then, like, the people in line at the 7-9 looked at her and was like, just about was everybody's going to start cheering. It was great.
Yeah, well,
but you know what?
It should be.
We all got to do this, but we just got to keep a conscious effort to do it when we see these people in line and things like that to help them out. And like you say, the men in blue, just the same thing.
Yeah, and I don't recall, and there was a couple of places in the debate that I missed, but I don't recall them bringing up veterans at all last night, did they? I don't recall that there were any questions
somebody
that had to
did,
do
somebody
with the
talk
VA.
About the VA. There was something about the VA.
I was looking for that question, but I didn't see every question.
Actually, I was doing recreational marijuana at the time. So.
Yeah, right.
Or happy holidays heroin.
That's
how our government defines it.
By the way, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to tell you about a good heroin. All right. In the meantime, let's go to Craig. Craig, thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, hey guys. Rick Santorum actually talked about the VA in the
earlier debate.
That's right.
Okay.
I knew we heard it somewhere.
Okay. Right. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Wait.
I'm not going to cut you off.
Thanks for calling, Craig.
Yeah, right.
There's a disturbing thing in the law that passed recently from Ryan that
which one
that funds the government?
Oh yeah. Okay.
There's lethal force. For Ukraine, for the rebels in Ukraine fighting against Russia, we're supporting them with lethal force, whatever that means. It's just like a couple lines in the law.
And now you must be talking about the Defense Appropriations Bill. Or are you talking about that budget?
The one that funded the government.
Okay, you're talking about the budget deal, the two-year budget deal. And I had heard that there was actually a number of people in Congress who were pushing for that. I don't know if the administration was really all for that, but that there were members of Congress who were pushing to arm guys like John McCain, who were pushing to arm those, in essence, rebel forces over there.
And you think somebody that stayed in the Hanoi Hilton for all expense paid stay would not really want to go to war, but it's his mental problem.
Well, it certainly is a complicated situation over there in the Ukraine, and this will only make it more complicated. There's no question about that. If they're going to supply arms, they should be supplying them to the Ukrainian government, not to any other rebel forces over there.
Correct.
Yeah. All right, Craig. And by the way, did you have a clear winner last night, either in that opening debate or the later one?
I still liked Rand Paul and Trump, actually. Trump and Paul are almost aligned, correct, the same, believe it or not. And the FDIC ensures that your $250,000
in
the bank's going to get paid to you.
I know it. I couldn't believe, these guys, like Kasich was going, what are we going to do? We'll have to, it was, oh, come on.
He's got
a nervous tick or something. I don't know.
But, everybody thinks you're insured to $250,000, okay?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But there could be, if it were catastrophic,
they could change it.
Bye-bye.
Because they won't have enough funds.
But the question was one bank. It wasn't the banking system. It was if Citibank, or I think, what did they use? Bank of America, I think, was the example. But you're right. And I actually thought Rand Paul had his best debate last night. And it's because of the format. That type of format suits people who have something to say. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Craig, thanks for calling. I appreciate you being out there.
I thought when Rand Paul jumped out on the China issue and said, hey, guess what? China's not even in the treaty. I think he surprised a bunch of the people that were standing up there. I'm not sure they knew China. I mean, as much as we like assume they know everything, right?
Right. Well,
it looked to me, I'm sort of looking at the faces across the board going, oh, my God, I don't think some of them even knew China was in
there. You know, I had that thought about Trump because he's in essence responding to Trump. And Trump, I think, is right to be against this trade deal. It is a bad trade deal, but it is not. China is not included in it.
Right.
And in essence, that's one of the things that's bad about it, is that China's not in it. What we have done with this deal is try to pit these other Asian nations against China, kind of to hold them in their place.
Right.
Well, the problem is now guess what they're going to do? They're going to up and go do something else about that. It would have been smarter to come up with a trade deal where you lock them into some honest-to-God true trade policies and requirements and stuff. This will make it harder now if somebody doesn't know how to negotiate with China to negotiate with China, because we've excluded them from this deal. And by the way, it is a lousy deal.
Yeah, we're giving away the farm again.
We are giving away the sovereignty of this nation. You know, in a way, if we're going to have deals like this, there really is no need to have a border, because we will no longer be a sovereign nation. And we're getting ready to do the same doggone thing, only worse, with this foolish climate trade deal that they're getting ready to lay on us. It's going to be the same thing. We will be subject to the super international non-governmental aid. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. And, of course, you are a great audience. You are the greatest audience. We appreciate you so much for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And once again, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255 if you have any thoughts about the debate last night or about the new revelations about Mizzou that we'll be getting to here shortly. I want to make a few more comments about the debate in general. And by the way, Carl Jackson's going to try to call in for a little while in the next hour of the show, give us his take on the debate. But we got some, for instance, we have some social media numbers and some other things. But real quickly, it's coming up fast. Monday is the day, our pizza eating challenge, and we got vets in that challenge.
Oh, I know. I wished I could enter it, but I gotta do play by play. But we have some real beasts coming in. We got, as you know, this is like Rocky II. We got Reggie, you know, he's gonna be there, 6'1", 265. He needs redemption, boy. After those two women put him down.
I'll never forget the look on his face when he realized that he was going down. Watch out now, he might be listening.
He wilted like a flower, but he's making his return. We got the Predheads. They're bringing some different masks and stuff. This is the number one, actually, sports prep team.
Booster
Club in the nation, ahead of the Cleveland Dog Pound, et cetera.
And they are an
enthusiastic group, but they got two entries, one woman and one man, and they were the member of the guy ran our first place guy just about to the end.
He did.
So he did a good job.
He did.
We got a surprise entry.
He
we
was
got
second
some
place.
Monster about 6'8", 260. I know he's coming. So that's going to be a competition for the Reg.
Wounded Officers Initiative guys are putting up a local police officer.
We got the UCF gentleman, the young man that won.
He's the reigning champ.
I know he was bribed with a grade, though. I'm a little concerned about that.
We need to go down and get one of those WWE.
It is a liberal college anyway, right?
That's exactly right. And then his father's brother's coming in, and he is threatened to put on great competition. So, this is going to be an exciting event, and then we're going to do some
Martini Man.
Yeah,
the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, we were there last time, and this guy shows up at the end of the table. He's enjoying the spaghetti.
I invited him.
I didn't know that. I'm saying, who is this guy? He just shows up. He has a glass of wine. He's relaxed. He's not
martini. He had a martini.
He had a martini, nice martini, but it wasn't anything like the three olives you drink.
I know. But, he's going to be there. So
it's going to be a big lineup.
It's going to be a big night. Plus, we have the raffles going to be a lot of. We got some great prizes this time in the
raffles.
Really great prizes.
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing that's exciting is just the fact the camaraderie among the cast of characters will be there. Many of the people call in. And it's just a good chance for everybody to, you know, get to know each other better. So it's going to be a great time. So yep. Should be good.
Yep. And now tomorrow night we're going to have a little contest too. You know, the Sunshine Summit, the GOP Sunshine Summit is coming up Friday and Saturday at the Rose and Shingle Creek in South Orlando. And we will be there Friday all day and Saturday all day. We'll be doing a live remote broadcast down there. We're going to try to get interviews with as many of the candidates. If we can get close to any of them, we're working on that. But in the meantime, we need some questions, you know.
Well, Chris, so our little contest for tomorrow is really to honor you. You're going to be
To help me out.
You're going to be there tomorrow?
He's going to be there Friday.
Friday.
And but we're going to ask Chris what questions you would like him to ask your favorite politician. But we want to give you perimeters here.
Yeah.
And, like, if you want to ask him one that you think might – you know, maybe bring a smile to their face. You could do that. Or you could just ask them a question. You just want the answer.
Yep.
Like my first question, I say, Chris, for me, if you run into Carly Farina, the question I would like you, two of them, to ask her. One is, Carly, do you think Raven, you know, that that beautiful woman from The View, do you think she actually has an IQ less than a bird? So I'd like you to ask that to Carly about Raven, because Raven gave Carly some heat during the program The View.
Yep.
On a serious nature, I would like to know, when you run into Trump, will you seriously audit the military, the IRS, and have people jailed for major, you know, financial infractions? I would like to see this actually happen, and I would like to see that actually in a real debate. Are these people going to jail, or are we just going to pitter-patter around and just throw money in the tens of millions of dollars down the drain? So come up with two good questions. One could be like Raven, or the other one could be very serious. But there'll be some nice prizes tomorrow night, and Chris will be the carrier of the question into the Friday event.
Here's another one you can ask Carly, since everyone's about her face.
Uh-huh.
All right. Do you think Bruce Jenner with makeup looks better than you?
Oh, no, no, no. I ain't going there.
I think would get her excited in a very negative way, man. She would come flying at you. I wouldn't even ask that one. You know?
I tell you, that guy, every time I think of him, I pray for his soul. It is a sad story there.
He's very sad.
Remember, indeed, he's the next James Bond character, Switch.
That's right. That's right. Or he might be the next Money
you
Penny at the rate they're going, right?
I know.
Right?
Did you know that I was explaining to the Chris Center audience yesterday, I went to the James Bond film, and I have to tell you, I thought it was very good, except for one thing. Here comes PC again, right? You know, Money Penny from 50 years of tradition and everything. She was the young, or not the
she always was a young thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she was a girl.
Well,
she was a babe. They aged together, in essence.
She was your classic English girl secretary, if you will.
Well, you know what? Money Penny is now black. How can that be? I thought she was white for the last 40-some years.
Well, I told you. I figured it out yesterday.
Well, you know,
she's now identifying, so she's like that girl that was the white girl who was the black girl. And
identifying. I guess maybe she just thought she was black and became black.
Well, you know what?
By the way, did you know that Dallas has voted to, or the city council has voted to allow men to go in women's bathrooms?
Yeah. I also, and you'll get a kick out of this, I'm going to start retapes of the show Lassie. And I'm going to have a cat play Lassie.
There you go.
I mean, this is how far drawn out we are. But we've got two big contests coming up. So
I have a question for you.
All right.
They always pass legislation allowing men in the women's bathrooms.
Right.
I want to see legislation allowing women to use the urinal in the men's bathrooms.
Don't ask me about that. All right. A little bit more about last night's debate. Nobody really hurt themselves, perhaps, except for John Kasich. And once again, this guy is...
He opens his mouth to change feet.
Speaking of his mouth, did you ever watch what he does with his mouth after he finishes talking? Yeah, I mean, his lips are like all over the place, stretching his lips and his making these weird faces.
I mean, Carly's mouth looks good.
I started something now.
Indeed. And when it comes to the body language, though, again, I would say Trump wins the body language because he stands there like a rock. almost like a statue. And he doesn't change his body position much unless he turns to look at someone or unless he's talking. He's like he's holding that podium down, like
right.
It's going to float
both
away.
Both hands,
and
right?
If he doesn't, he's like it's going to float away if he doesn't.
It's like when I'm on the treadmill.
Yeah, and he's.
Are you just standing?
But he's striking that pose.
No, that's right.
And I don't even know that anybody is noticing this or talking about it. But believe me, body language has a subliminal effect on people.
Yes.
And he is communicating even when he's not talking. And he's communicating, I'm in charge here. I'm the boss. I'm bigger than everybody else. And it comes through loud and clear. Even though you don't hear it and you don't even think about it, it's coming through.
You know, I have the same thing.
What's that?
I'm the boss. And I have my wife's permission to say so.
Well, you know, Chris, you know, that One American News, which we both watch, and I enjoy that show a lot.
The new news
and
network.
Today, and this is, and you're right about body language. And they said, and this is really embarrassing, they said that Bush, by them, was declared the worst in the event.
You know, and,
I mean, like, give me a break. Now, I thought he was a little bit better than the worst.
He was
close. But watch him.
He's still way far off.
I know.
Though.
He just does not radiate being a leader, winner.
No.
There's something wrong.
It's his body language.
Yeah.
And his tone.
He looks like Gumby.
Well, the tone comes from the body language. I mean, it all works in conjunction. If you don't have the right attitude, you're not going to have the right tone, nor the body language.
Right. But I mean,
see, this is natural for Trump. He's not acting. This is Trump.
Right.
Well,
the rest of these guys,
either.
To some extent, are acting, with perhaps the exception of Cruz. But if you don't think Rubio's acting, that kid's been acting school, buddy.
And Rubio's very good at what
he's
does.
Polished,
but, you know, Jeb, he wasn't acting. He has as much personality as a pet rock.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's being natural, and in his natural state, he does not exude leadership
nor confidence.
Right. And if he tried to act like it, it would come across even worse.
Right.
Right. So he's stuck with being himself, and that means he's stuck being a loser. I hate to say it.
Hey, wait a second. He was a past
like
governor
Hillary.
Of Florida.
And he was a pretty decent governor. And no, I'll say this. He stood up for Jerry Schiavo over there. Not Jerry Schiavo. What was her first name?
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Terry Schiavo. And I have a great deal of admiration.
That was good.
Terry, I was almost.
Terry.
But, you know, he did a lot of good things as governor. Great voucher program he started here in the state of Florida.
Yep.
But he's not presidential material, especially at this time in history. We have to be looking at this not just in our little cocoon of the United States. We got to look at the world and how the rest of the world is viewing us and what's going on as a result of that attitude toward us and how we can change that overnight with the right candidate. One thing I'll say about Bobby Jindal, and I didn't see the whole first debate. I got home. It was about 7:35. I got home as quick as I could, and I caught the last half of it. And he kept saying over and over something that I've been saying over and over, and that is we can't just elect any old Republican. A lot of these guys up on that stage last night are smart guys and they're good, but they would not be adequate to the job of the president that we need right now. We need not only a strong person, but someone who exudes that strength. And I don't think it's Ben Carson.
No.
You know, it's Trump and Cruz and Christie. And Jindal showed a little bit last night, but he's so far out of it, I mean, right now.
But, you know, Jindal, like you said, I liked what he had to say, except one thing. He was attacking all the time Christie. Christie had ignored his attacks and went straight to the people and attacked Hillary.
Yeah.
That was the smart play.
Yeah.
He did the right thing.
Yeah, Jindal was simply trying to make himself.
Right. He was trying to score points and get noticed.
You're going in the wrong direction, buddy. Turn around and go right instead of left. Okay?
You're right. And I don't think Santorum was probably the weakest in that first debate. But once again, I thought that was a very fruitful debate as well. We got clear, once again, sort of clear distinctions now on where these men stand on certain issues.
Now, how do we get Santorum out?
And with the later debate, it's the men and, of course, Carly. What's that?
How does Santorum get eliminated? Just not getting enough for the next one?
Well, I think he's holding on until the Iowa caucus, which, of course, he won last time. Trying to, regenerate that magic, trying to regenerate an old love type thing. And most likely, you can't go back.
Yeah. I think it's time to start thinning out the herd.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen to any great extent anyway.
Anyone below the, let's say, 7% mark, see ya.
Well, but it's up to them to do that. And it's up to, if they don't get any donors, they don't get any money, because at this point, that's what it's all about. It's not about polls, it's about money. Except that the polls can generate some money.
Stay in the race, fine. But I'm saying for the debates, we need to start thinning the herd so that we can get down to where
unfortunately, that decision has been left up to the networks by the bozos who negotiated the deals in the first place. So it's not up to the Republican Party or even us. Yeah. It'll be up to the networks. Well, the next debate is going to be in December. It's over a month away, and it'll be a CNN Salem debate.
Okay, Carly Farina, okay. What do you think of her? I mean, I like her style because it's right to the point, right to the heart. She's a bit mechanical,
yeah.
And I'm going to bet initially she's going to do the same act. It's going to go up. Her ratings are going to go up for the next, few weeks, and then they're going to go right back down again. Well, I don't know if she's not getting enough exposure, or you maybe get tired of, I call the shotgun, bang, 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 bang. I don't know.
She's not getting enough exposure, and at least part of it is her choice.
Yeah, out there on the trail.
Not only that, but we have contacted her campaign on a couple of occasions now, and I'll say this, they respond right away. And the response is no.
Well, if she doesn't come here, it's political suicide.
But see, this is the type of show that she needs right now.
Yeah, it's local. It's
and
yeah.
Chris, you'll be with her this weekend.
Well, we'll see.
This is the chance.
All right.
She might not take questions.
Like I said, we contacted her campaign about this weekend. We got a prompt reply. No, thank you. Can't do it. All right. Then we'll have to take this break. When we come back, looks like we got Carl on the line. I know. Dr. Dennis keeps telling me to tell you it's Fiorina, not Farina.
I'm thinking of the food. Carl, I want the...
Thank you, Dr. Dennis. We'll be right back.
Fiorina.
Yeah, Fiorina. Fiorina.
Fiorina.
Fiorina.
Yo!
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there in our audience and all the veterans out there who aren't in our audience. We wish each and every one of you a happy Veterans Day. And we got some little special tributes as we go through the show tonight, including I'm going to complete our series of readings with a reading from our own Colonel Danny McKnight's book, Streets of Mogadishu. In the meantime, if you have any thoughts about the debate last night, give us a call at 407-774-8255. Let's bring on Fox 35 analyst Carl Jackson to find out what he's got to say about it. Hey,
here's Carl.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Great to hear from you guys. I love it when all of you guys are on. You do a great job.
Hey, appreciate it. Appreciate it. So I caught you this morning. I missed you last night, but I caught you this morning styling and profiling.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I heard I was making you dizzy.
That tie, man.
I question wearing that one. But
wait, was that a Trump tie?
It wasn't. But anyway, so here's the deal. I watched both of the debates, or at least listened to most of the second one. I didn't entirely see all of the second one, oddly enough. I saw the entire first one. And I have to disagree with the media. I kind of see what they're doing. That debate was easily won by Jindal Santor. Mike Huckabee completely fell off, with the exception of his fair tax explanation. It's the only thing that saved his campaign, frankly, last night. And Chris Christie stuck to deflecting questions and constantly talking about Hillary Clinton, but he completely deflected Bobby Jindal's attacks. Bobby Jindal and Rick Santorum, this is going to surprise people, deserve to be on the main stage. There's several, I think Jeb Bush, Kasich, I don't think they need to be on the main stage. I wish we could flip-flop them. Because Santorum, believe it or not, has the best immigration policy of all. He has all of Trump's plan plus a moratorium, which no one is brave enough to do except him. So I wish that he would be on the stage in order to push that even further, to be quite frank. But I see what the media is doing. I watched it. I watched the first debate, and it was a really great debate. Bobby Jindal's problem is the same problem that Fiorina has. They're both extremely substantive, but they have a hard time connecting. Bobby Jindal knows his facts up and down. He's strong in his convictions. He's lived it out in his, you know, I've read all types of articles about him, even from some conservatives, based upon how he's the worst governor that Louisiana has had, because he's cut so many taxes. He didn't understand what it would do to the economy and this and that, and all this kind of nonsense. So this is a guy who has actually done it, and they're starting to see the rebound as a result of his policies of actually cutting government spending, which they say couldn't happen, or the state would completely go under. So I give them props for that. As for the second debate, I'm trying to be extremely objective. You guys know who I like, but I'm just trying to go based upon what I saw. Initially, I didn't see all of the debates, so I had to come back home after Fox last night and try to watch some of it again and piece it all together. And once I did, I got to be honest with you, Trump and Carson don't go anywhere. You didn't hurt them, although I think Carson, his little stance today on immigration is absolutely not a good thing. I think Trump did a better job than people want to give him credit for. However, I want to say that I think Cruz did an exceptional job, and I hate to admit this, but Cruz or Trump are going to need lessons from Marco Rubio in order to win the primary. And I'm just being completely objective, but I have never seen anyone be able to break down politics. It makes a simple complex in such a fascinating and quick way as Marco Rubio. And I got to admit, I was extremely impressed by him. Do I intend to vote for him? Is he my guy? He's not my guy. So that's a totally different topic. But if I'm just being objective and talking about political skill, when you get into the general election, I hope whomever wins it, and I don't really think at this point it's Marco Rubio, but they better work with him and learn how to communicate, because he is one of the best I've ever seen, just quite frankly.
Yeah, he keeps winning style points. His delivery. Plus, he's smart. You know, he's making good arguments, but he's delivering it with a very effective style. And he's been working on this for a long time. You know, I read an article in the New York Times. I read it on the air here, where one of his Democratic colleagues, who was resigning from the Florida House at the same time he did, looked and noticed that his wife was crying when Marco Rubio was giving his speech, and he came up with the phrase that Marco makes. Do you remember what I said, Carl? He said it makes the young women swoon and the old women faint, and something like that.
Yeah, I believe
and
that was it.
So it's just, he's, you know, I think it's a little over melodramatic for me, but you're right. Objectively looking at it, it's very effective delivery technique for his message, and it's a strong message.
I don't think we have enough time before the break, but
stay with me, would you?
If I can. All right. I have a couple examples from him.
All right. And when you're going to be on Saturday, too, right, for a half hour?
Yeah. I don't know the exact time, but I'll get that information to you, because we pre-taped for Saturday as well.
Yeah, okay. All right, stick around. Carl's going to stick with us, and you can be a part of the show as well. And who knows? We might have something to give away tonight. We'll see on the other side of the break.
Ladies and gentlemen!
All right, here we go with hour two. That's right, hour two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Coming to you on this fall afternoon. We're finally going to get some fall weather this weekend, so they say. In the meantime, you got us here. We're live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer as we come to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, who I was just in the chair yesterday for the old semi-annual teeth cleaning. 407-678-3399 is Dr. James E. Hardy's phone number. And don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. And you know, more and more dentists are going to Mercury Free Dentistry. All right. In the meantime, I am Christopher Hart, joined in the studio by the chairman of the board. That'd be, of course, Mike McBath. We also have in the studio Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections, and he's brought a special treat with him tonight. We're going to be giving away to help a friend of ours out. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge, so we're going to want to put him to work. The phone number is 407-774-8255. Carl Jackson is on the line. We're going to get back to him in just a moment to get back to some debate review. And then there's a few an update on the Mizzou hoax, what it now appears to be, and a couple other little news bits that we're going to get to as well, plus another reading to cap off Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to all of you veterans out there. We so very much appreciate you and everything that you've done. And tell us about what we can give away here, Aubrey Kahn.
Well, we're going to be giving away in this hour a total of 10, that's right, 10 30-minute chair massages with the compliments of the new Marilyn Monroe Spa opening up in Oviedo at, believe it or not, 5515 Vista Way. And the question to win a 30-minute chair massage is, what was Marilyn Monroe's name before she changed it? Not just her first two, but her last name as well.
Yeah, most people probably know the first two. It's the last name we're looking for.
I have one question, though, for Audrey, is, now, you're not going to be given a massage, right?
Not to you, Mike.
Not to you, buddy.
No.
This is Hello, Betty.
No, it will be
and it won't be Caitlyn Jenner either.
It will be the staff at the Marilyn Monroe Spa.
Right.
And now, Lisa Christman is the owner,
right? Yep. And the spa is going to be opening on Friday, November the 20th.
All right. So you can be the first to get a 30-minute massage. Call Nick, 407-774-8255. Obviously, because we want to give away 10 of these, you won't be coming on the air to, you know, the first person to get it right type thing, all right?
But so, he knows the answer, so you can't trick him.
All right. Nick knows the answer, so you'll call, you'll give the answer to Nick. If it's correct, he will take your information. Aubrey will contact you and set up your massage.
Massage. And now for a massage.
Massage.
James Bond.
Yeah, you know, that was in You Only Live Twice.
I know.
Yeah, Tiger took him, you know, to get the massage.
You got it.
All right. Let's go back to our very own masseuse when it comes to political kneading. That would be, of course, Carl Jackson. Carl.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Go ahead. I want you to finish your thought, then I had a question for you.
Okay, yeah. So what I observed during the debates last night, the second debate, is I just want to give you a couple of examples of why Rubio is so good and people should be concerned about him. If you don't think he can win, you're just mistaken, because he has the ability to connect with people like I've never seen before. And I'm not a fan of many of his policies, or at least some of his policies. But his sheer talent can get him into places, and obviously have already, where other places can't go. Just recall that Trump's ability to speak plainly is what has gotten him, I mean, besides obviously the name recognition, his style, his ideas on the border, but also his ability to connect plainly is what I think a lot of Americans were craving. Rubio has the ability, just playing the political game, to kind of do that halfway political slash personal speak. And let me give you a few examples. and they seem so small, but they're so huge, because I fashion my show on Saturdays on, I always say, I communicate American exceptionalism by making politics personal. This is what Rubio is able to do so well. For example, I know you guys have heard it played on the airwaves. He talked about welders make more than philosophers. It's simple statements like that when he was advocating for vocational schools. It's simple statements like that that, unfortunately, no one else on the stage can think of quickly. And I'm sure he's thought about these things over a long period of time. But his ability to sum up complex arguments very quickly and easily is just tremendous. Another thing he said, if you raise the minimum wage, you're going to make people more expensive than machines. The dumbest, the football players at the University of Missouri can get that.
Don't count on it.
Yeah. Wait till we get to that.
They're not
topic.
That highly rated in IQ department.
Touché, you may be right on that one. Okay. And then when he talked about the phones and the fact that the phone came into, you know, reached 100 million people, it took 75 years, it took Candy Crush, you know, 1 year to reach the same audience, and the guy just sold it for several billions of dollars. Yeah. So this is where Rubio connects. Now, I want to show you what Ted Cruz did, because this was masterful. I had to make sure. I'm like, okay, I lean Ted Cruz, but I tried to say, okay, wait a minute. If Ted Cruz loses, he loses. And I got to tell you, when the debate, the first half of the debate, I didn't think he was winning it. Personally, I thought Trump and Rand Paul we're probably going to run away with it for the night. And then he started coming alive, and then I started seeing what he was doing. And here's what he did. I want to take you back to Trump, and, you know, we know Trump's stance on amnesty. What Cruz started to do, he's not going to attack Trump. He is not that dumb, right? So he's not going to attack Trump. So here's what he did. He just spoke out against amnesty. He appealed to the same type of people. So he doesn't bash Trump. He appeals to the same type of people. That's simple enough. Now, here's what he did with Kasich. He totally destroyed the argument that governors are better than senators as presidents in one question. And you guys might remember this. It was just when they were having their little back and forth, their little dust up, if you will, regarding Dodd-Frank. And then Ted Cruz took a stance, and he said, I would not bail out the big banks. And then, you know, they started asking the moderators are asking them, are you serious? You won't bail out the banks, even if it hurts the people, so on, et cetera. He said, okay, let me give these, you know, caveats, but no, I will not bail out the big banks. And then Governor Kasich chimed in, trying to show off his gubernatorial experience, and it failed him rather quickly. Because he said he would, and he tried to make it personal, and all Ted Cruz had to do, and this was dumb, he baited him. He literally baited the guy, and the guy fell for it. He said, okay, so are you saying that you are selling out the big banks? Ding, 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 ding. He had him right away. And Kasich was dumb enough to answer. And then he had to go ahead and explain how he would do it. And this guy, John Kasich, said, as president, what I would do is try to figure out, and I'm paraphrasing, decipher between the rich and the poor. Are you kidding me? The president of the United States is going to try? Done. John Kasich was done. And then he did the same thing with Rubio and Rand Paul by interjecting into their debate. He effectively made Rand Paul look small, and he warned Rubio without saying his name, I know about your subsidies, buddy. I know about your subsidies, and I'm coming for you.
I think that Rubio is very well. I do think that all of his answers are very well rehearsed. I've seen the variations of those answers in interviews that he's given. And of course, all the candidates do this to some extent, and that's not a big surprise. But he's got that delivery down, and he knows when to play the card and which card to play at the right moment. And that's where Kasich is absolutely lost. As Mike said, he's just way off on his timing. At the end of the day, I do think that we finally get to begin to get a better picture of where all these guys stand on the different issues.
This was the best debate by far, because it really, you know, they were asking me on Fox, so they were telling me this morning, wasn't this so boring? I was like, no, for a geek like me, and I know like you, Chris, when it comes to politics, this was the meat and potatoes.
Thank you.
We're geeks hand in hand when it comes to politics.
Yeah.
This was the meat and potatoes, because now you can finally start deciphering who's who, and you're going to see the people flopping off. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think Santorum and Jindal will, and I don't think they should. I think those two are the ones that deserve to be on the big stage. And Christie, I know people are saying he won that. He did not win that debate. I watched that debate, and I was like, this guy sucks. He stinks. Immediately, I started seeing the media go for him based upon his little tagline. No substance whatsoever in that debate.
There's no way. Carl, you know, the one thing, though, about these debates, there's just so many questions. I mean, they always say, well, geez, this guy seems so smart because he had such a cute little remark here, and that was such a good little quip. But, you know, if you're in business and you're doing presentations, and I did them for years in the financial area, I virtually can memorize and have every response down before I even walk into the person's
office. You know the questions.
I know the questions coming.
Yeah.
And these fellas know the questions coming because it's the same question. I watch it, and I feel I could close my eyes and recite the same thing, and then I'd make up a few little cute little shots I could take at the other guy. Do I think that's the one thing Trump has, I think, that none of them have? I still look at Don Trump as somebody who's done reasonably well in life, and I go, you know what? This guy still has that movie star charisma. He has the recognition that he is truly a financial genius because he has made billions upon billions. No one else up there has done that. And I think the plus is the fact that he isn't heavily involved in politics, and he doesn't have all these IOUs out there, which Rubio has and all the rest of them have them out there. And I just think, and I don't like Trump's style in the sense of taking, you know, pretty wild shots at different individuals. I'm hoping that he calms it further and further as we go down the pike. But,
you know,
I'm not that impressed when I listen to a lot of these people.
Yeah, you know what, Mike, and I totally agree with you. Like, for one, I love Trump when he goes after the people, quite frankly. That doesn't bother me.
Oh, I think it's funny. I just laugh.
I don't think he should be taming it down. I know a lot of political pundits say that. I just totally disagree. I say let Trump be Trump. The problem that I have with Trump is I'm just being frank. I don't believe him. I just don't. I am not convinced that he is completely who he says he is. So that's where I'm at. Having said that, does he have the skills and is he nimble on stage? Absolutely. But I think where we have to be careful is, and I do this, we project because we think about and we read politics all day long, every day, that most of the people out there are like us. And it's just not the case. The people that do political radio and listen to political talk radio are the most informed people.
Right.
That's probably 10% of the population.
Yeah, and that's why I say you got to watch for the style. The style oftentimes trumps, no pun intended, the
substance. Stupid.
The style, and that's where, as you say, Rubio's strong, Trump's strong, Carson's strong, and Cruz is strong. And I think those are going to be our final four.
And I agree with you.
So, listen, I have a caller who has a question for you. We have two other callers. I want to take the caller with the question for you first because we're coming up on a break. So, Al, thank you for calling. Your question for Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Wait a minute, Carl. Did you hear his question? Because we did not.
No, I heard. I heard the last part. I think Ted Cruz over Ben Carson.
We can't. Is that you, Al?
Yeah.
Al, try it now. We couldn't hear you the last time.
My question is why Carl Jackson is choosing
okay, I'll put.
Can you repeat the question, Carl? Because we still didn't hear it.
Okay, from what I hear is, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Al, you said, why is Carl Jackson choosing Ted Cruz over Ben Carson?
Okay.
I'm getting a lot of noise in my ear, so hopefully you guys are hearing this. But bottom line is, I actually haven't chosen anyone yet. But I can tell you that I am leaning towards Ted Cruz, and I don't choose anyone based upon skin color. I choose people based upon qualifications and conservatism, quite frankly. Yeah. Whereas Ben Carson is strengthening himself up and his ideas, and I'm really starting to like him. 2 months ago, I wouldn't have even bothered voting for Ben Carson, just to be frank with you guys. The fact of the matter is, I've gone, or you, if you look at Ted Cruz over the last couple of years, you can say, I think he has like a 97, 98% conservative rating, the highest one, he and Jeff Sessions, okay?
Right.
So you can say that I like a person, all these people that have been on stage, some have been in Washington, some haven't gone to Washington yet, and they say, I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. Listen, Ted Cruz has already gone there, been in the belly of the beast, and done it, and he's so hated that people don't want to eat with him.
All right.
So I know when he says something, I can believe it. That's right. What I'm looking for this election cycle.
Carl, thanks so much. We don't go for affirmative action candidates around here either. God bless you. You're doing a great job, and we'll talk to you. I'll see you at the summit, I think, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. See you there.
And by the way, folks, you can get tickets to that as well. They're running out, but you can still get them at am660theanswer.com. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll have JJ and Ed. They're on the line right now, so you guys hold on. We'll get to your phone calls on the other side. And we'll see if we have any of those 30-minute chair massages yet to give away.
Yes.
Do you know Norma Jean? I mean, Marilyn Monroe's full name, the last name especially. We want to know that. If you can tell us that, you'll get a 30-minute massage at a brand new massage and spa in Oviedo. Don't go away, please.
I'm a flag-waving, patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, biting Yankee man.
Okay, once again, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans in our audience and even to the veterans who are not in our audience. We wish each and every one of you a very, very happy Veterans Day. And we still have some 30-minute chair massages to give away. We've gotten 3 correct answers so far. We've had a few incorrect answers. You're welcome to call back if you got an incorrect answer and you figure it out. What was Marilyn Monroe's full name, not just the first two, but the full name and her initials. Can we get the initials NJM? NJM. What does the NJM stand for? Marilyn Monroe. Because these 30-minute chair massages are at the
Marilyn Monroe Spa at 5515 Vista View Way, Oviedo.
Oh, boy. All right.
And the last name is not McGrath.
Let's go to it's not
now,
McGrath. Huh?
Are they,
my phone number
are they,
is.
This is Ed, for male Ed, and female.
All right. Yeah, Ed, thank you for calling.
I'll be right back. Yeah.
Ed,
how you doing?
We're doing good. How about you? Thank you for holding. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I think that Jeff Rubio won, and I think Jeff Rubio will be the Republican nomination for the President of the United States. And the reason I say that is because they would prefer to have Jeb Bush, not Jeb Rubio.
Right.
But they're going to put Rubio in his place.
Yeah, I think you're right.
His stances are almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
And it's great for the establishment because it brings out multiculturalism. Yeah. We had our first black president. Now we can't lose. We're going to either have a woman president, Hillary, or a Hispanic president. In Rubio.
I definitely think that you're right in the sense that the establishment is going to coalesce around Marco Rubio. The establishment, their worst nightmare is Donald Trump as president. Their even worser nightmare is Ted Cruz as president. So they're going to do everything. They're going to work harder than the Democrats to make sure that Cruz and Trump do not see it through to the end of this thing. So
exactly.
they're going to be full force behind Marco Rubio. There's no question in my mind about that. The only question is, are we going to allow that to happen? Anyway, go ahead.
Well, the media's behind him too. I mean,
they will be for now. They will be for.
They're saying, "Oh, Rubio's the only one who could beat Hillary. Oh, you got to go with Rubio. Rubio's the only one who could beat Hillary." And they're saying that on all the things. The word's out.
he's out there, and he's, you know what, he might as well be a Democrat. I mean, he's right.
Well, the media will give him the same treatment they gave John McCain. They liked John McCain until he became the nominee, and then they were his worst nightmare. They'll give Rubio the same treatment.
And then they'll crucify him.
Indeed, and there's a lot of ammunition that they will have out there for that. But
I would hope we can beat him, but I don't really see it happening. We put too much on the executive branch anyways. I would like to see us hold everybody out of Congress, including we have the biggest Republican Congress and Senate. What good did it do us? Nothing. You got to see how the federal government is lost. That's why we got to take other states to work out on that level.
It starts with leadership, though, and this is where we can mess up their plan. But I got to let you go because I'm up against a hard break. Thank you for calling, Ed. We appreciate you being out there. And, folks, do you know Marilyn Monroe's
full name before she changed it?
The initials are NJM. M is what starts her last name. All right, when we come back, we got more to talk about, and we also have more Veterans Day tribute to go, so please don't go away. All right, and we got 8 people who are going to love to get one of those 30-minute massages. Congratulations to Karen, JJ, Colleen, Rick, Mark, Connie, Tom, and Beth. And that means we have, 2, 4, 6, 8. We have 2 more 30-minute chair massages. If you can tell us what Marilyn Monroe's real name is, or name before she changed it legally to Marilyn Monroe. And in particular, we know a lot of you know the first 2, Norma Jean. All right, what's her last name? All right. It starts with an M. All right, and don't forget we have a contest coming tomorrow night. What question would you like me to ask your favorite candidate?
Chris, this is important that we get this straight because big contest tomorrow, big prizes. And I think, again, you'll be out there Friday, and all the politicians are going to be there Friday and Saturday with you. So what we want to do is have our audience come up with 2 questions that you can ask whoever wins.
No, one question.
One question.
One question per person.
Per person.
But we're looking
but they
for
have
our
2 styles.
Right, exactly.
One, they could do one that might be considered either a little humorous, off color, but not too off color, or the other one, extremely serious, which might be boring.
Right.
But an example, like Chris, he runs into his girlfriend, Carly, and he goes, Carly, do you think Raven from The View, Carly, which is one of your favorite shows, has an IQ less than a bird? Now, it would be interesting to see Carly's response. Or you could take the serious
side. Might actually get her to smile.
Tweet it.
She could tweet it. That's exactly right. And smile while she's tweeting.
There you go.
Or you could ask a serious question. Trump, will you audit the military and the IRS and have, and I like this, and have these people jailed, you know, for all these financial misconduct? Because I think half the nation, every day we open the paper and, you know, billions and millions are gone. So, Chris, I can't wait till you get to ask some politician our winner's question.
All right. And so we'll have 2 winners tomorrow night. So that'll be tomorrow night. And, of course, don't forget our spaghetti eating challenge. You are invited Monday at Cafe Positano. You can make a reservation. There's no cover charge, but 407-774-8080 is the number if you'd like to make a reservation. We got reservation. We have a full field.
I know. I think we're booked.
Including our standing champion.
What we forgot to mention, which we have in the past, 18-inch pizza. They're starting
off. They start off
with
each contestant.
So sit at home. Do you think you could start off with an 18-inch pizza,
and
then we're slimming down
to a
10-inch pizza, and then we're slimming down
to slices. If anyone gets through all of
that. An 18-inch pizza.
The problem with this pizza is it's only an 18-inch diameter, not radius.
Well,
now that would be a real pizza.
But what I think, Chris, is what I'm looking forward to is when we get down, and if there's people continuing to go, because we got a 15-minute time limit, too, I was thinking maybe one piece they all get with sardines on it.
Oh, yeah.
Anchovies.
And that would make them sick. And
anchovies
then,
and capers.
I'm going to bet nobody's going to get through that second 10-incher, but we'll see.
That'll be great. We'll see. It'll be fun.
We shall see as of Monday.
Prizes at the, you know, we've got prizes for all those attending.
Yeah, we're going to have door prizes, raffle prizes, and, of course, we have a prize stash we're building up for the winners of the contest. Entertainment afterwards as well, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So please come out and join us. In the meantime, you did hear us refer to the GOP summit, which is coming up at the Rosen Shingle Creek this weekend, Friday and Saturday. We'll be doing a live remote broadcast down there, and we will be trying to get around to the candidates to ask them questions, if not having full-fledged interviews. And you can join us down there as well. The tickets are going fast. And it is limited seating, so if you want to get a ticket, you might better get right on the stick. And you go to am660theanswer.com, and you'll find the banner there. And you can also find the itinerary, the schedule of events, and the speakers. Okay, one last thing about this debate, and then we will move on. And by the way, this will be the last debate until December, a little over a month away. The next debate will be a CNN, and once again partnered with Salem, which means our colleague Hugh Hewitt will be there to ask his question.
His one question.
Hopefully
right.
they will include him a little bit more this time, and hopefully they will take note of the format, the style that has this debate was conducted, that this is really more substantive. You say in the media you want substance. This is how you get it. More like a true debate last night than the ones we had seen prior, and especially the CNBC debate.
Dumb, crazy, stupid question.
Okay.
Chris.
All right.
When has CNN, the criminal news network, ever emulated anything done by Fox?
Well, it wasn't. Well, you're right, Fox Business Channel. But we shall see. You know, all we can do is hope. Now, Anderson Cooper, I must say, prior to last night, I thought did conduct the best debate. It was still not as good as last night's, but it was better than the other two. I must say that. Okay. And the other two, by the way, were NBC debates, and the Republicans have pulled out of the last NBC debate, and we presume that that has not changed. Once again, happy Veterans Day to all of you veterans out there. One last thing about this debate last night, though, and it's this business about the wall. And for some reason, you know, there are a lot of pundits out there that think that it's impossible to build a wall. What is so difficult about building a wall, and an effective one at that? And by the way, when Trump says wall, what he means is, more accurately speaking, and I don't mean to speak for him, but he means barrier. In other words, in some places it will be a fence. In other places it will be an actual wall. In some places you might not need it because
you
of the terrain.
Have drones and police walking. Who knows? But it's going to be guarded.
But you have an actual border that right. you guard and you protect. And I don't care what plan Carson has or any of the other ones, unless you actually do have a border that you can seal and protect, no plan is going to work. None.
Exactly.
And that's where Trump has it all over. And all of these, you can't do that, you can't do that, those are the naysayers that we're sick and tired of listening to, and I don't care where they come from.
If they want to find out how to build a wall, go to Israel.
And they have built the wall. Go to China.
I wonder, Chris, if everybody has forgotten about the Canadian side. Do you remember that there was a video back a little bit ago where they showed this one mosque on the Canadian side, when it was cold out, all the ice froze, and the Muslims were going back across into the United States anytime they felt like it. You know, that's a wonderful feeling.
Once we seal the southern border, then we need to concentrate on the northern border.
You got it.
Right?
You got it.
And it can be done. We are Americans. We built the Panama Canal, which no one else could do, malaria and all.
We landed on the moon.
We landed on the moon.
But we cannot build a fence.
Where do you think the greatest concentration of Muslims are in the United States?
In Michigan.
Along,
in Michigan, yeah. Right.
And is that near the
Canadian
border?
Yeah, it'd be easy to sneak down and find shelter in some house in mosque in Detroit.
We got it.
But anyway,
need to
be done.
Where we need to send our Muslim refugees we're taking in?
Back.
Yeah.
Well, but besides that, if we are going to settle them, Hawaii.
I like that. They can help build that Obama library out there.
Or they can build homeless shelters.
Have you seen his new house that he bought? It's right on the ocean. So much for his determination about global warming.
Bought for him.
Yes.
By the way, Trump last night cited Ike Eisenhower deporting 1.5 million illegals into this country. In fact, he did do that. Mm-hmm. But only after Harry Truman, a Democrat president, had deported some 3.5 million. So between the two of them, they deported 5 million illegal immigrants. So we're being told that it's impossible to deport 11. Well, let's just think about the size of the population back then.
Yeah, relative to the population, that's more than 11 million.
It was a little less than half of what it is now. Yeah. And we're talking about half of what we can do it.
So we're talking about inflation here.
People inflation.
Yeah, population
That's
inflation.
Exactly right,
exactly.
All right.
Yeah, of course we can do it. It's just, do we have the will to do it?
The will to do it. And by the way, once we start doing it, watch how fast people begin to snap into line and go back on their own.
Yeah, you're right. We announced that, you're going to see them leave the country.
Because they will then want to come back here
legally.
Right.
Which is the way it should be. Thank you very much. Speaking of the way things should be, it shouldn't be like this. The VA giving out bonuses.
Oh, again, $142 million, Chris, were given to the VA workers as bonuses for their excellent performance in 2014. That just must make you feel so good. Oh. Is that unbelievable? And then the other day, what did we see? $63 million. Well, then another issue. Then we saw Solyndra, $500 million. I mean, it just doesn't stop with these agencies. That's why I can't wait till we turn this presidency over to see if something can be done to pull the IRS, everybody in line, and save us billions upon billions of dollars.
They don't have to work for the money, so it doesn't have any meaning to
money.
Them.
Yeah, by the way, Donald Trump the other night when he was in Springfield, Illinois, mm-hmm. at an arena, which, by the way, he had some 10,000-plus people there, broke Elton John's record for crowd attendance at an event at that same arena. He said that he will go after criminal.
That's what the American public wants to hear. Go after these people. We are so tired. The average guy, you know, when they saw the tax returns the other day, the average American pays in taxes. Now, you know, because only a small percentage pay taxes relative to the population, it's $22,000. A lot of money mm-hmm. for the average guy.
Yeah, think what you could do with that.
And you mind everybody just taking your money and throwing it down the drain?
That really irks
us all. But, you know, that's going to be a bigger and bigger campaign issue, I think, as we get down to the wire.
Yeah. Do you think that Trump will reopen the case of IRS discrimination? Because we know that this Justice Department's about to close it.
Let's just put it this way. He will appoint an attorney general who will kick booty and take names.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right? And so all agencies will be put on notice.
Open game.
Open game on criminals.
Which gives me my question, my serious question.
And?
Mr. Trump.
Yeah?
When you become president, will you demand that Obama's records be unsealed?
I think that would love to see his grades. I mean, I know what a C looks like. I guarantee you he's right in there.
You think it was that high?
That's if he cheated.
All right, let's go to Mark on the line, and then we'll have to take a break. Mark, thank you for your call tonight. We appreciate you being there.
Hey, good evening, guys. Hey, this ties in with your VA and the bonus thing. You know that the whole Phoenix VA issue with all the those deadlines and everything, all the scheduling issues. Not one person has been fired in 18 months from that whole thing.
Terrible.
Not one single thing. And get this, they're on paid leave for 18 months. And so they're not even, they're getting paid to sit at home.
It's not. And this is part of what's wrong with our government. It tolerates and even encourages incompetency. And you're right. They are on paid leave, doing nothing, drawing that paycheck, getting that pension built up.
What about bonuses?
And they may be eligible for these bonuses at the end of the day.
It's just so
probably
wrong.
Probably dead people are getting
it's
a
such
bonus.
A small little piece of the problem. You know, just multiply times thousands.
Right.
And
amazing. And a lot of people in the media and the establishment are wondering why Donald Trump is popular. When he says that we got stupid people running this country, this is what he's talking about. This is why he is connecting on that level. Mark, God bless you. Thank you. Are you a veteran, by the way?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right. Well then.
Chris, I was going to say, join us in wishing all our veterans happy Veterans Day. What was Hillary's explanation for the VA?
Thank you, Mark.
That's going to be one of her downfalls in a debate.
That it was much overblown.
Like the six
scandal.
The problem is she lost in the State Department.
I know.
Overblown. The only thing overblown is her butt. No.
Jeff's discriminatory. She looks like a barrel.
All right, it's ridiculous. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our break. When we come back, we're going to have the final reading of the week and our tribute to veterans. And so please stick around for that. All right, we'll be right back. Back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We're going to end up the show tonight with another reading from some veterans. We started off on Monday with Specialist Sergeant, PsyOps Sergeant Boone Cutler. Of course, last night we had a reading from Chris Kyle's book, American Sniper. That was Voodoo in Solder City by Boone Cutler. Tonight I'm going to read from Streets of Mogadishu by our own Commanding General of the American Adversaries Army, Colonel Danny McKnight. This is page 182, 183. One final event of note for Task Force Ranger occurred on November 11th, 1993 in Washington, D.C., Veterans Day, after our return from Somalia. 26 soldiers from Task Force Ranger, myself and five other Rangers included, and some from the 10th Mountain Division's QRF comprised a special group that was invited to the White House for Veterans Day activities, not the kind of invitation you turn down. It is a very unfortunate situation when you have the opportunity to visit with the President in the White House and do not feel great about it. The general attitude of the Task Force Ranger soldiers was not especially positive. They considered it to be a duty to attend, but no one was too excited about it. They felt betrayed by these leaders who now wanted to recognize them, but who had not been willing to make the hard right decision to complete the mission in Somalia. It seemed to be a token gesture at best, and most certainly was a polite, politically correct one. On Veterans Day morning, we attended a breakfast in the White House, a special time we shared with veterans from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Neither the President nor the Vice President was in attendance. It was a true privilege to be in the White House with these veterans of the past and shaking the hands of these heroic American patriots, and will always be a highlight of my life. When breakfast concluded, we moved through a receiving line where we met the President and First Lady. I was a little surprised when I stood in front of President Clinton in the receiving line and had to tell him who I was and what I did in the Army. I thought he might have known a little something about the Ranger Battalion commander he had committed to combat, but that turned out to be a bad assumption. After the receiving line was finished, the President moved to a room where all the Veterans Day guests were assembled for his remarks, which included specific recognition of the veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and Somalia. Upon conclusion of his remarks, our group of Somalia veterans proceeded to the Oval Office for a private session with the President, the Secretary of Defense, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This entailed meeting these people and a question-answer time with the president in which he asked some general questions related to the events in Somalia. One of his questions related to our work with the United Nations. My answer to President Clinton was generally as follows. We can work with the United Nations, and must be able to do so because it will always be there, and its success as an organization will require our participation and support. However, we must never be required to work for it. I then explained that working for them meant that they made the decisions, whereas working with them meant we were an important part of that process. The president said he did not really understand what I was telling him. I then explained the security issue that had occurred in Mogadishu regarding the UN forces at the airfield. I specifically explained the incident that involved UN soldiers not returning fire at enemy personnel because they had no ammunition for their weapons while in a security position. The president's response was to ask General Shalikashvili, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, did that really happen? The general responded, yes, sir. I believe I recall that occurring. That was not reassuring. My commander-in-chief had just questioned what I said, as if I might lie to him, especially in front of my superiors, my peers, and my subordinates. I would never do such a thing to disrespect the office of the President of the United States. In my mind, he had actually questioned my integrity and disrespected everything I stood for as a member of the United States Armed Forces. My internal reaction was one of disgust and disappointment with my external while my external reaction required me to maintain my composure, which I somehow did. However, I must be perfectly honest and say that I have never forgotten it and never will. And never should we forget what these people do for us and how callously many of our leaders treat them. They treat them as, what did they say in the Predator movie? Expendable?
Correct.
They're expendable. They're just something to be used to accomplish political means.
Did you enjoy watching the president give his accolades towards our veterans?
Once again,
the heart of the nation.
It's the same thing as this.
I like sincerity.
They're playing
you?
Them lip service.
Right.
Folks, please don't pay our veterans lip service. Pay them the respect that they are due.
Amen.
Night, everybody.
Passion. FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs.